player, coach, pain in the ass. He's done it all on the gridiron, from South Bend to Arrowhead, from football on the radio, back to football, then more radio, then a little more football, and now radio again. It's Tim Grunhard on the program.
Welcome back here to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Time now to talk a little Chiefs football, as we are joined by Chiefs Hall of Famer, one Tim Grunhard. Tim's appearance brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. You know what today is, Curtis? Are you aware of what today is over at Twin Peaks?
I am not.
We talked about yesterday. Awesome. We talked about it yesterday. It's Customer Appreciation Day. You can have a great Tuesday. Buy one, get one boneless wings when you purchase a Peaks, either signature 22-ounce draft, a soda, or a tea. Basically, buy a beverage and buy one, get one on the boneless wings right now. Bring the whole crew. Take your, take your decision to which sauce, which rub you want, and take advantage of it. Customer Appreciation Day today in Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland. Twin Peaks, 29-degree man-sized draft beers, premium cocktails served over ice balls. That made-from-scratch menu, including their wonderful selection of boneless wings. Buy one, get one with the purchase of a beverage. Grab you a big 22-ounce draft or a soda, a tea, and it's buy one, get one on the boneless wings today at Twin Peaks. Let's welcome Tim Grunhard back to the program. Tim, how are you, sir?
Did you guys get into the eclipse mania yesterday?
We had one pair of glasses that were in the studio, and we each took our turns looking at it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You guys got a lot more of the totality of the moon blocking the sun than we did down here in Florida. I think we only had about 40%, and we didn't have any glasses, and there's some people on the beach that came up and let us borrow it. I thought it was really cool. For us, it looked just like kind of the crescent moon kind of look. But I know my daughter, who lives in Cincinnati, and my other daughter lives in St. Louis, they had almost total totality of eclipse. So they said it was really cool to see the shadows and how dark it got and all those kind of things. So, yeah, I guess we're going to have to wait another 20 years. It's not like a Chiefs Super Bowl where you have to wait 50 years to get a Super Bowl. But we wait another 20 years. And you can save those glasses, Soren, so you can use them again.
You've been asleep for 3 years, Tim? We've been waiting 50 years lately.
We had to wait 50 years until the sun finally came out in three Super Bowls in 4 years, or 5 years is amazing. So, yeah, really cool deal. It was fun to see it. A lot of stuff going on with the Kansas City Chiefs as we roll into April. You know, April is really kind of the official start of the NFL offseason. Eight teams now can go out and start their offseason program. If you have a brand new head coach, you could start on April 1st, which would be obviously the Chargers, the Patriots, the Commanders, the Seahawks, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Raiders, and the Titans. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure how much people really do this early in the offseason, but they have the ability now to go and start working out. So the NFL season kind of has officially begun as April rolled in.
Yeah, the new league year kicks in, and they don't waste much time. Of course, everybody's eyes are on the draft. I think that's the big topic for everybody, and where they, you know, where will the Chiefs go? What will they do? Let's start with left tackle. Let's start with what you think with the latest on Rashee Rice. Of course, we all expect a prolonged suspension there. So now, knowing you don't necessarily have Rashee Rice to start the year, Donovan Smith is still not signed. Wide receiver and offensive tackle would be the most popular candidates, particularly with the fact that they've brought back Chris Jones, Derek Nnadi, Mike Pinnell, most of the defensive, Tershawn Wharton, Michael Dana. The defensive line's been pretty much put back in order from where it was last year. What do you think is the biggest need as we look ahead to the draft?
Yeah, without getting into names, that's something obviously we'll do as we progress here. I think that, listen, the Rashee Rice thing is not a good situation, obviously. I hope he learned his lesson. I hope that, he realizes that, you can't do those kind of things. You can't make those kind of mistakes and hope to get away with them. And you're not above the law. And there are consequences for your actions. So just like anybody else, he's going to have to pay the piper, whether it's an NFL suspension, which I think it probably will be. I'm sure that his insurance is going to be way up, and paying for a Lamborghini repair is not a cheap thing. So it's going to cost him a couple bucks. But Rashee Rice, very disappointing. A guy that the Kansas City Chiefs really started to feature last year towards the end of the season, had a nice rookie season. So that's a shame. So when you look at the draft, you look at some of the guys that that the Chiefs or that some of the positions the Chiefs can look at. I guess before we get to that, I don't know if you guys heard this, but you know, they obviously signed Marquise Brown. That was a nice signing for the Kansas City Chiefs. But there are also some people there. I know there are also some people that are saying that there are some wide receivers in free agency that maybe the Chiefs weren't going to take a peek at that now are kind of looking at, and I think Tyler Boyd is one of those guys that the Chiefs will maybe sniff around and see what his feelings are about coming to Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City Chiefs bringing him in. So maybe they go out looking free agency. One of the things that I have heard coming out of Arrowhead from several people that are in the know is that Patrick Mahomes went in that final meeting and said, listen, I'm not real happy with this wide receiver room. It made it really difficult on us and the offense to do a lot of the things we want to do. You know, obviously we won a Super Bowl, so you can't be too pissed. But the reality is that I think he wants to upgrade that wide receiver room, and I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to try to do that. Whether they go out and find another free agent and or they go out in the draft and draft somebody in the first round, I do think it's something that the Kansas City Chiefs, and they address it a little bit with Marquise Brown, but they will address, and Rashid Rice certainly didn't help that situation.
So are you saying you think wide receiver is the number one need?
No, I'm not. I think the wide receiver will certainly be addressed in the draft. I do think that, you know, listen, you know me. You know what I'm going to say. I want an offensive tackle. I'm not sure if you know, especially at the left tackle position, whether they have the right guy there or not right now. I thought he played better as the year went on.
You're talking about Wanya Morris?
Yeah, but I do think that the Chiefs will look at an offensive tackle. I think there's some guys and that they can get that are pretty talented at that position. Remember, I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks that are going to roll early, and the Chiefs don't need a quarterback. And then there are some defensive ends that are going to roll early that the Chiefs don't need. So I think the offensive tackle position will have some talent. It'll have some viability when they pick at 32.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I think offensive tackle's the number one need, unless Patrick Mahomes says, I want a wideout or I'm pissed. So if that's where he's at, then I think you got to keep the quarterback happy first and foremost. But you also got to educate him about, look, Pat, I mean, yes, we want to get you an array of stars to throw the football to, but if you're not upright, you can't throw it to anybody.
How happy are you on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, let's back up to Wanya Morris. I mean, he's listed as the number one guy right now. What do you see in Wanya Morris?
Well, listen, I think, you know, he obviously has some talent. And when he was in there, I thought he played very aggressive. He played strong. He finished plays. But I thought he struggled against speed rushers. I thought his pass protection. Once again, one of the things that the Chiefs, and I know Andy Heck isn't happy with this, that a lot of times, especially at that tackle position, they're just kind of like waistbenders. They're kind of reaching out. Their heads are down, and they're struggling with those speed rushers on the end. And Wanya Morris struggled with that early. Now, whether they can get that straightened out in the offseason when he knows that he's going to get some significant playing time, that he can work on that technique and work on those fundamentals, get some strength, work on that footwork. But, you know, when you get to this position in the NFL and you're in your second or third year, you can work on technique and fundamentals and you can work on all that kind of stuff, but you're almost at where you're going to be. So I think we saw kind of what Wanya Morris is. Now, can he get a little bit better? Absolutely. But I don't think he's going to be any kind of world beater by the time it's all said and done. So if there's an ability to get a guy that can come in that is at or a little bit above his talent level with technique and with his pass set ability, then I think you got to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, Donovan Smith not signing somewhere just feels to me like they're, you know, that he's on the speed dial, that maybe he's even the plan. You know, that to me, and I'm fine with that. If you get him back, I think you feel like you can at least take the field, and it gets easier to go take wide out if you have Donovan Smith.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Donovan Smith falls to the Kansas City Chiefs, not the worst thing that could possibly happen to that offensive line room. You know, he's a guy that went in there, he competes. I mean, obviously, I don't know. What would you give him as a grade? You know, it's hard to grade anybody under a C+ when you win the Super Bowl, but I would say he was about a B-2, maybe a B, with his play last year. And there were times when it just looked ugly when, you know, he was turning around and watching plays and watching his quarterback getting hit. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes really appreciated that, obviously. So, but here's a guy that we, you know, you can certainly win with, as they showed last year. Won a Super Bowl with him out there at that position, but I do think that they want to upgrade that position. You know, listen, he's not getting any younger, and you could see that his age showed a little bit towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he's a solid left tackle, and I think you know what he is. You know where he needs help. He needs help on the outside. You got to chip a little bit. You know which pass rushers are going to give him a problem. So, to me, you can scheme with him. Wanya Morris, you're right. There's still ceiling with him because he's a young player. But I don't know, like, I think Donovan Smith knows who he is, too. He knows I don't want to get beat inside. And so I'm going to protect on the inside. So if you chip on the outside and let him center a guy up, you feel pretty good. So having a back that can do that's important. But with Wanya Morris, I think he's susceptible to being beaten in a whole number of ways. And if you're Patrick Mahomes and you know Donovan Smith is only going to get beat wide, then you can step up. You can feel good about where you are. You know, I just Wanya Morris is kind of an unknown. At some point, you got to take that leap. And maybe now is that time, right, with four veteran guys. At the other line spots, you say, okay, Pat, here it is. I mean, we're just going to have to live with him. Or I don't know. What is a young tackle most susceptible to being beaten on?
Yeah, I mean, I think a young tackle, first of all, I think his mind is racing. The game is going really fast for him. So, in a number of different things, you know, you start to work on that speed rush, you start to work on that edge pressure. And, the next thing you know, you're oversetting and the guy's beating you inside. So, there's just so many things with young guys that they struggle with because they're trying to work on one thing. And by working on that one thing, they're hindering or they're hurting the process of what they do best. And for him, that's being aggressive. That's being, you know, he can get away with that in college where he can get up there and he can jump a guy and be aggressive and get his hands on him quick. But in the NFL, those guys are so slippery, so fast, and they know how to get their hands off. And they're going to slap those hands away and they're going to be able to get to the outside. So, you know, I think for Wanya Morris, once again, you know, it's incomplete. We're not quite sure. I think that he can get better. I'm not sure how much better. But the problem is when you're working on one thing and you're starting to concentrate so much, it's like a baseball player up at the plate and, he can't hit the curveball. Next thing you know, the fastball is going right by him, and that's his sweet spot. He can't hit it because he's so worried about the breaking ball. And that's the same thing with a left tackle or an offensive tackle. You're so worried about that fastball outside. You're worried about that speed rusher. You're worried about getting beat that you're popping way outside. The next thing you know, you're getting beat inside. You're getting bull rushed, and you're off balance, and you're struggling. So, that's why veteran guys, especially on the offensive line at the tackle position, are important because, you know, you learn so many life lessons, it's football life lessons, I should say, by, you know, what you can and can't do, what you're good at, what you're not good at, that, you know, you can kind of adapt a little bit. And you're exactly right. When you know that at Donovan Smith, he's going to struggle with the outside rush, but, you know, he's smart enough to know that, hey, if I'm going to get beat outside, you know, my quarterback can step up so I can do this, this, or that to give him a little bit more time. And you could turn the protection to him, too. And he understands the concept of what that is, turning the protection to him and where he can get beat and where he's got help and where he, as a football player, has the best chance to have success with the turning that protection. He can do that. A lot of young guys don't understand that process yet. They don't understand the ins and outs of what the game is all about as far as scheming and as far as, you know, knowing what they're good at, what they're not good at. I remember I struggled many times with guys when they got on my snap hand because, you know, when you're snapping the ball, you can't be as aggressive as you can with a guy on the other side, on your away from your snap hand, where you can throw that hand in there and you can get your feet going quicker. When you're a one-handed man for a half second, you got to be a little bit less, you got to be a little bit more passive, lose a little bit of ground, and then try to get that right hand back in. And, you know, it's not the same process. And I think it has a little bit to do with what the left tackles have to deal with in their issues.
We're talking to Tim Grunhard, football insider, Chiefs Hall of Famer. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the wide receiver position. What are the Chiefs looking for at that spot? Where's a good spot to take him? Who are some of the names to look at? Tim Grunhard's here. We're just a couple of weeks, a couple of days, and a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. More with Tim Grunhard. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. TwinPeaksRestaurant.com to find the location nearest you. 29 degree draft beer, premium cocktails served over ice balls. They're Kansas City's best happy hour. Check it out right now. Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland. It's Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue Burnt end of the hour answer. Zach Edey's 37 points, the most ever by a player on the losing team in a championship game. Whose record did he break? The number was 35.
35?
We talked about this game briefly yesterday. He was on the losing team in one of the games we talked about.
Was he lose to UCLA? Mm-mm. So wasn't that Ryan Mount or whatever from Purdue?
Rick Mount, no.
Rick Mount?
No.
God, I don't know. We talked about half the That's NCAA true. Tournament
but
yesterday.
It was one of the three end-of-the-hour answers. Remember Ramil Robinson?
Yes.
John Morton of Seton Hall had 35 in a losing cause for the Pirates.
And I would have guessed for a month and not gotten John Morton. Holy cow.
I'm sure
that
John
much.
Morton would have gotten John Morton.
Wow. Playing for
Joe's.
Little Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You can get the best barbecue in the world at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. All you got to do is stop in there. You can order it up at joeskc.com. That's joeskc.com. Get the best barbecue in the world, Kansas City's best fries, the best sides all around. It's at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, 47th and Mission, 119th and Stringline, and 117th and Row. We're talking football with Tim Grunhard, our football insider, Chiefs Hall of Famer. Tim, let's do talk about the wideout. Look, there's three guys that we know are going to go in the top 10. I think everybody's, would love to see, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze here. Is there a guy that you think fits the Chiefs offense? Do you have a draft crush at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, you know what? The guy that I really like is the wide receiver from Texas. I think it's Adonai Mitchell is his name. Mm-hmm. Big guy. He's got a little bit of length to him. And that's one of the things that, Rashid Rice has got a little bit of that in him. But, when's the last time the Chiefs had a big target for Patrick Mahomes to kind of use in the middle of the field? This kid is a tough matchup in the red zone. Let's face it, when we get in the red zone, the first option is always Travis Kelce. And then after that, we try to trick people and run, kind of trick plays with Hardman whoever, Rashid Rice, and with some of those screen plays. I'd love to see a guy that they have big enough where they could throw a jump ball in the corner of the end zone, or maybe have a guy doing some mesh patterns across the field, trying to get a good little pick and finding some space to throw up top to a bigger wide receiver. So that's the one guy that I like. And I also like the kid from Georgia too. And I know that, he's more of a possession receiver and may not be, have the kind of speed that equates into what the NFL needs. But the lad, that's his name, is another guy that I think you'd be a great possession receiver. When you got a Marquise Brown with some speed, you got a Hardman if he's back with some speed, you got a Brown with some speed. I said that already. But if you have a guy that could be a possession receiver, a guy that you can count on for that 10-yard out or that 10-yard in, or running that hitch and running a great route, the Patrick Mahomes, we can trust him and knows exactly where he's at. A little bit like Watson last year, but I think this guy's a little bit more skilled than he is. So those are the two guys that I would like to see. If the Chiefs can find a way, if they want to draft a wide receiver, I'd love to see him get one of those two. You got a big guy with some speed from Texas, and you got a good possession receiver who knows how to win, and McConkey from Georgia.
Yeah, that is one of the things. I mean, you mentioned that. And Kelce, it's not like Kelce's – he's not Gronk. He's not 15 touchdowns a year. Even he is – more about, beating a guy than he is just winning jump balls. And, you'd like that big body that can wall somebody off. And he does a little bit of that. Part of that's just Andy Reid's offense as well, I think. But, maybe the Chiefs, maybe Andy Reid's evolving away from all the speed guys and getting to a little more size. You mentioned Rashee Rice is more of a physical player. It would be nice to have a variety of different looks you could give defensive backs, right? Especially at the goal line.
Absolutely. I think when the Chiefs get in the red zone, they're very predictable. And I think because they're predictable, the Chiefs try to maybe trick people and they do some of that kind of silliness that Andy Reid is scheming up. And if you have a guy that you can count on, listen, if you're going to double team Travis Kelce, then you're going to get some singles on a big physical, tall wide receiver in the red zone. So they got to find some matchup answers when they get down in there. I think the Chiefs are very good from the 20 to the 20. And I think, once they get into the red zone and they get down inside the 10-yard line, that they, they try to get too cute. And the best way to remedy that is just to have a couple big receivers. Listen, Travis Kelce is always going to get his attention. And if you got a guy like Rashid Rice on one side, and you got Mitchell on the other side, and you got Travis Kelce kind of roaming around in the paint, that's a pretty good combination.
One of the things I like about McConkey, even though he's not a big body, he's not a necessarily a contested ball guy, but I think he could be good in the red zone because he does the one thing that's, to me, the most important thing for a wide receiver to do, and anyone who watched the Chiefs last year would know this. He gets open. He creates instant separation. His ability to find spots in zones and any kind of coverage. Now, the guys who are going to be covering him are better than they were in the SEC. But he faced about as good a conference as you can face or competition in the defensive backs that he saw in the SEC week to week. I think even though he isn't a contested ball guy, he's a guy who I think could really find some spots when they get when the field is more compressed. And all Patrick Mahomes needs is a little bit of space, and I think McConkey is a guy who can provide that in almost any spot down there.
Yeah, I think he's an unselfish player, too. I think that he's the kind of guy that, you know, he's going to run that route exactly the way it's drawn up. So with being unselfish and, you know, kind of doing what the team's asking him to do, then Patrick Mahomes is obviously going to trust and know where he's going to be. The other thing he does a really good job at, and I think the Chiefs have got to find a way to maybe run the ball a little bit better outside. He's a really good blocker. He's a guy that takes a lot of pride in his blocking. I know that's not the sexy thing, and that's something people want to hear about blocking wide receivers. But in the reality, you know, if you got a wide receiver that's not afraid to put his nose in there and block people, it's almost like a corner that's not afraid to tackle. You know, the corners are meant to be cover guys. They're meant to go out there and make sure that they're going to lock down some guy. But when you can add in the idea that they like to tackle and then go tackle, and we saw that a bunch with our young corners throughout the last couple of years, that they can go in there and throw their head in there and make a tackle. If you can find a wide receiver that's not afraid to block and not and takes a lot of pride in it, but yet also can get open and find ways to get involved in the offense, I think that's the best of both worlds. And I definitely think he'll be there for the Chiefs. Whether the Chiefs think he's a first-round draft choice or not, I do not know. But I think he'll definitely be there. I think that's an option for the Chiefs, and I'm sure he's on the board for the Chiefs right now.
Yeah, I love Ladd McConkey on our Red, Gold, and Bold podcast. We're going to talk about later tonight our draft crushes. And I think people who have listened to the program know that Ladd McConkey is going to be on my list,
because
Curtis and I are both huge fans. You know, it's funny when you see that, you're like, oh, Phil McConkey's kid. I mean, like, no offense to Bob Stoops' kid, and I've talked to Oklahoma people who would love to see Bob Stoops, and I forget what's his first name, the wideout at OU. Anyway, you know,
yeah.
they love to see the Chiefs take him in the seventh round, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a smart football player, all that. You think coach's kid, and he was a very productive player at OU. I'm not diminishing what he did, but he's undersized, he's under speed. Like, I saw Ladd McConkey, and I'm like, well, this is just the same kind of thing. He's going to be 5'8 and a half. He's going to be 165 pounds. He's going to run a 4.65, but oh, he's smart and he's a precise route runner. No, he's 6 foot. He's 190. He ran a 4.39. You know, he played with the big boys in the SEC as a starting receiver at Georgia. I mean, it's not just lineage. He's the real deal.
And Missouri's got two defensive backs who are going to be day one or day two draft picks, and they couldn't cover him to save their lives when they play down in Athens. By the way, Drake Stoops is the guy you're thinking of.
Drake Stoops, thank you. By the way, do you remember Phil McConkey, Tim?
I do remember Phil McConkey, absolutely.
Do you remember what his story was before he got to the Giants? Google this when I say it, Curtis, see if I'm right.
I do not remember. But
my recollection, I can't remember if he went to one of the academies or he just went into the military after college. I believe he was a helicopter pilot.
U.S. Naval Academy.
Okay, he went to the Naval Academy. I think he was a helicopter pilot. He did something with the helicopters, is my recollection. Let's see if I'm right. Let's see how the old man's memory works here almost 40 years after he kind of burst on the scene. I'm pretty sure he was a helicopter pilot and completed his naval service and then played for the Giants and won a championship in 86 with the Giants.
Still trying to find that.
Okay.
If you remembered it, I'm sure that's what it was.
That's probably it.
Yeah, that's my recollection. So, Ladd did not take the same path.
No.
The little Ladd did not take the same path as his father did to the NFL. But, yeah, Phil McConkey was a great story. And he was exactly, although at an NFL level, exactly what I described. Undersized, under speed, but ran all the right routes, played special teams, returned punts. You know, Ladd McConkey's a real NFL wideout. I'm with you, Timmy. I'm glad to see that he jumped to your view as well, because I like that kid a lot. I mean, he was always open. And as Curtis pointed out, Missouri's kind of dripping in draft picks.
Yeah.
Right? A couple of DBs.
Chris Abrams-Drain, Ennis Rigstraw, and That's Tyron Hopper, a safety who's going to probably be drafted as well. And he was, every time they wanted to go to him, there he was.
Yeah, it was that game against Missouri that made me go look up. Like, well, how big is this kid? What does, like, my God, he's a real prospect. Like, that was the one. I'm like, this guy's outstanding. Tim, you know, you mentioned your love of the big boys. I love the big boys as well. And there's so many offensive tackles in this. I would love to see him get an offensive tackle. And I think there's a possibility that there'll either be one there or be one within move up range. If they want to go get it. If there's someone they feel like they can solve the left tackle spot, they're not going to be able to go up and get Joe Alt. But, I mean, I think whether it's Amarius Mims or there's a number of guys, there's a number of prospects that I think are later on that kind of fit what the Chiefs like. They'll probably have to take them higher than they would want to, but I think they're there. But what about the D-line? I mean, in some ways, the re-signing of Michael Dana, don't we have to view that as an indictment of Felix Onyedike-Uzomah? Like, if they thought they had hell on wheels ready to unleash over there, would they really be giving 3 years, $24 million and $13 million guaranteed to Michael Dana to come back and play in front of Felix Onyedike-Uzomah?
Yeah, you know what? When they did make that signing, I thought the same thing, so we're on the same page. I don't think, listen, I think the jury is still out. He obviously, unlike a lot of the draft picks for the Kansas City Chiefs over the last 3 or 4 years, didn't really make too much of a splash in his first year. You know, I think he's got 1 or 2 more years under this rookie contract that he's going to have to show that he is a viable player. They did pick him in the first round. I said it before, and listen, I'm not afraid to say it. I think when the Chiefs did take him, not to disparage a kid at all, but, you know, listen, he's a local kid, went to K-State, and the draft was in Kansas City. And I think that if everything was even, they were going to take a guy like that. So, you know, I think that this kid, it's not his fault that he was drafted in the first round. I think he needs a couple more years a season, and we'll see if he can do it. I do think that at times last year he flashed. He had a couple of good plays towards the end of the year. I think in the Super Bowl he had a couple of nice plays. I think he had a tackle for loss in the Super Bowl. You know, here's a guy that there's a lot of pressure on him because he's a local kid and he went to K-State. And let's face it, a lot of K-State fans, a lot of people from KU and other schools who want to watch a kid like that fail. So, here's a kid that needs a couple more years of season, but you're exactly right. If he was the guy that they thought he was when they drafted him in the first round, then they probably would not have signed Mike Dana. But I think the jury is still out. He still has a season a little bit, but it's not a good sign for the kid if they're signing a guy that, you know, from Michigan. That when did they draft him? Was he like fourth or fifth round, sixth round draft?
Michael Dana was a fourth or fifth. I want to say fifth.
Yeah.
And listen, he started at one of the directional Michigan schools in the MAC. I forget which one, fifth round pick, and then went to Michigan for a year.
Central Michigan, then Michigan.
I remember when they drafted him, looking at the videos that were out there of his Michigan days, and literally, I'm like, what? Like, what is this? Is this a guy that they think is going to be a wedge buster? Did they just spend a fifth round pick? Is this a Dave Tobe special? I mean, I give nothing but credit to the kid. And some people did tell me later, like, you got to go back and look at his, like, they did not use him well. And there's a reason why I think Michigan changed defensive coordinators not long after that. And they're like, no, he was not used well at Michigan. And, you know, you got to go back and look at his tape in the MAC, and then you'll see what he's capable of. He's been a fine player. And, you know, I'll point this out. 6.5 sacks is what he had. He had 5.5, I think, while Charles Omenihu was out, or while he was out and when he was first coming back and getting his legs. So when he got more playing time, he was more productive in the pass rush as well.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I think that the arrow is certainly pointing up on Mike Dana. He's a hardworking kid. You know, every year he gets better. And the one thing he does, he's adding tools to the toolbox. You know, at first I thought he was more of a kind of, hey, listen, I'm going to try to avoid speed rusher, try to, you know, kind of take some surface away and beat, whether it's a three technique when he's playing there or a defensive end. But I think he's worked on getting a little bit stronger. I think he's done a better job of getting his hands inside and getting some power rushes and shedding guys. And so he's added some tools to his toolbox, which is so important at the defensive line position. We've talked about it many times. You know, in the NFL, you're not going to usually win on your first move. You're winning on your first move, the guy that you're beating is going to get fired. So you got to find a way to get to a second move, have a plan, have a tool that you're going to take out that you trust. And I think Mike Dana's been that guy. He's done that. He's improved. And, you know, when a guy improves, and I think the coaching staff has seen this, you know, I think that the rest of the people around the NFL have seen it. I think Mike Dana, if he didn't sign with the Chiefs, was going to get picked up fairly quick from somebody else. So I think Mike Dana is certainly a great piece. And that's another thing that this organization has done a good job is of drafting guys in the middle rounds and developing those guys and letting those guys kind of get their feet underneath them. And they turned into pretty good football players. And that's why, you know, King Felix, you know, I still think, hey, listen, with everything being equal, you know, he was probably a second or third or fourth round pick. And, you know, so when he gets into next year and the year after, if he doesn't have any improvement, I think they're going to go somewhere else and go a different direction. But you got to give this guy maybe one or two more years to see if he can get a little bit of some technique fundamentals and some different stuff underneath him so he can be a better football player.
All right, let's take a break. One more with Tim Grunhardt. He's brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. Take advantage of the best happy hour in Kansas City, Independence, Olathe, and in the Northland at the Boardwalk Shops. That's where you can find your Twin Peaks restaurant. See their great made-from-scratch menu, things like the Hangover Burger, my favorite burger there at Twin Peaks. You can find that online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. All right, welcome back here at the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, talking to Tim Grunhardt, football insider, life coach, Chiefs Hall of Famer, joins us here in the program. Tim, I want to get your thoughts real quick about re-signing Clyde Edwards-Helaire. CEH is back with the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm curious as to why.
Well, you know, I can tell you what I've kind of heard, and I'm not even sure if I'm selling myself on this either. So to answer your question, I don't know. Okay, I'm not really sure, but I will tell you what the consensus is. The consensus is that he's a good back. He's a guy that they can count on. He's a guy that is good in the running back room, and he's got a good relationship with Pacheco. They're comfortable together. There's not a lot of angst or competition or, you know, animosity between the two, which, you know, there's something to be said for that in this day and age especially. So a guy that they drafted in the first round that has some injury issues and quite frankly, has kind of crapped in the hat, but he's a guy that they know what they have in him. I think that
well, you know what you have in Curtis.
He's a good citizen, and I'm not sure if that's a good reason to have a guy or not.
You know what you have in Curtis, but I'm not re-signing him to play running back. I mean,
yeah, but you'd re-sign him to be the best producer in the history of A10 Sports Radio. So,
well,
but,
I mean, I'm not going to.
Yes, absolutely. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not good at what he does.
Yeah, I'm with you, sir. And I'm not. I don't know. I thought it was. I scratched my head too when I saw it, but. I'm just telling you what people have told me that, hey, listen, there's a good guy in the room. And I'm not even, and once again, I'm not yay or nay in it. I'm just saying this is what I heard. And, you know, he's a good guy in the locker room. He's a good guy in the room and he gets along. And is that good enough? I don't know. Probably not. I would have liked to see J.K. Dobbins. It would have been nice to see him come to the Kansas City Chiefs and let Clyde Edwards-Helaire go. But it didn't happen. And Clyde Edwards is here. And I think they know what they have in him. And that's, I think, a lot of times being familiar with a guy and what he's all about, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of the organization. He certainly isn't going to be a guy that is going to be a make or break for any team, or especially the Kansas City Chiefs. But he's a guy that's going to, you know, obviously be a part of that organization and be a good positive person in the locker room. And in this day and age, I guess that's a positive. I don't know. I'm with you.
I like Noah Gray. I think he's a good football player and made some big catches in the Super Bowl, but I don't think he's the replacement for Travis Kelce. And I think it could very well be time to start looking for another tight end. Plus, they love to play these multiple tight end sets, but they love to use it with a bunch of guys that basically have no NFL career unless the Chiefs are playing them. Right? You know, all these fringy guys, like right now, I'm not going to remember the Alabama guy.
Irv Smith.
Irv Smith has bounced from team to team to team and never done anything. So great. Mm-hmm. He'll be here and he'll run out there and he'll catch one or two balls. And but why not go get a guy who's a threat at some point? Like, if you like to play three tight ends, how about having good ones?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's, I haven't even looked at the tight end draft board. I know the kid from Georgia is by far the best, but he'll be gone. But, you know, maybe they go out and they find somebody in the draft. But, you know, Noah Gray was also a guy that they went out in the draft and they kind of found him in those mid rounds. And he hasn't quite lived up to what the Chiefs needed. So, yeah, I mean, is there anybody out in free agency that you would see to say, hey, listen, let's bring this guy in, or is it too late? Is Irv Smith their one move? And if so, once again, Travis Kelce is going to have to carry the load, and Travis Kelce is not getting any younger.
No, there's nobody in free agency. Is there any good? They'd be signed by now, for the most part. Yeah, there might be some bargain guys you can bring in down at the bottom end, but, you know, Jatavion Sanders at Texas, to me, looks pretty good. When I watched him play at UT, he looks like a Andy Reid kind of catch the ball first type of tight end that I think would be a nice addition to the team. You know, no one was buzzing about Travis Kelce when he was taken. I mean, a lot of tight ends get underutilized in the NFL, or, you know, I just would like to see them find that guy, right? Find a guy who looks like a legit NFL starting tight end, because if Patrick Mahomes wants more weapons and seven wide receivers are going to come off the board before you pick, well, and we're talking about tackles that need help, well, lining up two tight ends isn't a bad idea to me.
Absolutely. And one guy you guys didn't bring up that I thought maybe you would, and very interested in what you guys think about this signing, is, you know, Blaine Gabbert is probably not going to sign back with the Chiefs. And I wasn't going to ask Curtis, because Curtis, being a big Missouri guy, is probably a little skewed on his idea of Blaine Gabbert. But Carson Wentz, is that a good signing for the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, he's a guy that's won some football games and won some big football games in his time. I was surprised that Carson Wentz would come and play for the Kansas City Chiefs in a spot that he's behind the best quarterback in the league, because he's probably not going to get a lot of playing time. But when Carson Wentz does go in, I mean, obviously there's always going to be a huge drop off when Patrick Mahomes is out there. But, you know, Carson Wentz from 50% of the quarterbacks out there is not a huge drop off for even the starting position.
He's asking you.
I think it's an upgrade. I think at least Carson Wentz is a guy that I think you could start in a game and have a decent chance of running an offense efficiently and coming out with a win. I don't think Blaine Gabbert was ever that guy. I think he was a guy who was there and maybe could come in for a series. I think Carson Wentz is an absolute step up. It's a step up in a position that on the surface doesn't seem important, but for the Chiefs' first Super Bowl championship, they had to have a guy step in. And I would have felt a lot better if a game had to happen if Carson Wentz is my quarterback than Blaine Gabbert. I think it's a major upgrade at what on the surface appears to not be that important a position, but you never know when it could be.
I think it's an upgrade. And I think Carson Wentz is here because, one, let's see if the numbers are out on his contract. I haven't even bothered to look now that you mentioned that, Tim. But, a couple million bucks to, not get hit. I mean, sign me up for that gig if, you know, anybody wants to. $2.7 million.
The Chase Daniels special.
Yeah, to not get hit. And then if you do get a chance to get in there and play, you're playing with Andy Reid. Like, how do you rebuild value if you're Carson Wentz? You need to go out and play well. Are you more likely to play well with some bottom feeder team as the starter with no O-line and no receivers? Or are you likely to play well with a team that's Super Bowl ready, that has a lot of weapons and a great play caller,
and a system you're familiar with?
Yeah, I think he can step. You know, if Patrick Mahomes would go down for a couple of games, or if he would go down for 8 weeks, like he goes down midseason with a knee injury and he's done for the year, like, can this team make the playoffs with Carson Wentz? If Carson Wentz is willing to work, yes. And I haven't heard he isn't, but yes, what I saw of him play for the Philadelphia Eagles, absolutely this team could go to the Super Bowl or go to the playoffs. And if you're Carson Wentz, you think you can lead a team to a Super Bowl. So it makes sense to me. I mean, I don't think him and his family are going to be sitting there rooting for Patrick Mahomes to get hurt. But I think, you know, if you make $2.7 million and pick up a ring and maybe you like it, you stay on another year, and then eventually you play and you show yourself, and then somebody goes, okay, here's three for, you know, 60 for you to come be our guy. Not a bad plan as I see it.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw that a little bit this year with some of the guys. Who was I was just trying to Google it. You guys got
Joe Flacco?
Yeah, Joe Flacco at Cleveland. You know, a guy that kind of in a similar situation, a guy who's won some football games, has always been a game manager, won a Super Bowl. I mean, so, you know, an accomplished quarterback that's probably past his prime, but came in Cleveland and, you know, kept the Browns in it all the way up until the very end. So, you know, I think the NFL, which is a copycat league, I think the Chiefs looked at it and said, listen, if something happens to Patrick Mahomes and, you know, in one of these years, and knock on wood, I hope it never happens, but you're going to have a time when your quarterback goes out for an extended period of time. And you got to have somebody back there that you can trust. And like you guys said, you could run the offense. With Blaine Gabbert, I'm not sure if you could run your complete offense with Blaine Gabbert in there. But I do think you can with Carson Wentz in there. You could probably run your offense, maybe not the first week of him in there, but as the season progresses, I think that you can work him in, and you guys, I mean, and you can run your offense efficiently. So I think Carson Wentz is a good signing. It's a great insurance policy for the Kansas City Chiefs. And if something does happen to Patrick Mahomes, knock on wood that it doesn't, but if something does happen, and listen, look around the NFL. I mean, you know, it happens. I mean, how many starting quarterbacks went out this year? The Jets had a quarterback go out after the first play. And then the Vikings, you know, a playoff team, what happened? They lost their quarterback, and they sunk like a rock. So, you know, those are the kind of things you have to think about in the offseason, especially when you can go find a guy for $2 million that has won some football games, some big football games, and can run an offense efficiently.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, a little under $3 million to know that if you lose a guy for 2 or 3 weeks, you can still win football games. That's a smart signing in my book. I mean, I think that's another one of those, like, it's not going to get a lot of hype, but if he has to step in for a couple of games the way Matt Moore did, he's better than Matt Moore.
Yes.
And they went 1-1 with Matt Moore, and that was part of winning a championship that year.
Yeah, part of getting that so that they don't get that first round bye. If they don't beat the Vikings.
Len Dawson went down. If they don't have quality backup, they don't win a championship that year. You've got to stay in the playoff hunt. You can't just take a goose egg all the games your starter might be down. So
you know, Saran, we see it right here at 810 WHB. You got a guy like Todd Lebo when Saran Petro has got to take a break, and you know, listen, you hear 99.9% of the time, but Todd Lebo steps in, does a great job. Mm-hmm. So you know, there's not that much a drop off when Todd Lebo comes in.
The Chiefs need their Lebo.
Need their Lebo.
We all need our Lebo.
Todd is a great second team quarterback. Come in there and he can run the offense, buddy. He can run that show and do a good job, and you need those kind of people around.
Tim, you're the man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right, before UConn, who was the last champion to come from a conference that only got 3 tournament bids? Brought to you by Good Sense.